The AFL season is not far away, and Greg Swan, who is the CEO of the Brisbane Lions, is joining us this morning. Greg, good morning. Welcome.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for giving us your time. I think you're just about to get on a plane, are you not?
I am. I'm heading to Melbourne watching. I've got a couple of sponsors' meetings, and then I'm off to the tennis, so I'm looking forward to it.
Ah, very good. Very good.
Greg, a lot of success off the field lately with re-signing of some of your young stars, but what's also very good is you've re-signed and you're now with the Lions till the end of 2019 at least.
Yes, no, look, we did do that, which was great for me. I'm 3 years in, and I just think we've put the building blocks in place, so it was great that the board saw fit to extend the contract. So, yeah, I was really pleased about that.
We said then, just before Christmas, or just after Christmas, Cameron Rayner, who hasn't played a game yet for the Lions, has signed a further 2 years. We know just before Christmas we had Hugh McCluggage, Jared Berry, Eric Hipwood, Harris Andrews, Ben Keys, all very important components moving forward for the Lions. They've all signed on. It looks as though all these young blokes are fairly tight-knit and they've all bought into what Chris Fagan's saying.
Yeah, look, that's the encouraging piece. Like, as you know, I mean, Cam Rayner is obviously number one pick, but you know, he hasn't been here very long. Re-signed till effectively 4 years now. And as you said, all those other young blokes, and they are very tight. They're a really tight-knit group. I'm not saying they've made a pact to stick together, but it seems that, you know, they've sort of challenged each other to return us up the ladder. And obviously the older guys, say with Hodgie and Dane Beams and Dane Zorko sort of, you know, leading the way, that they've, you know, they're trying to fast-track themselves and actually get us back up the ladder as quick as we can.
And what's he like as a house guest, though, Greg? Cameron Rayner, does he hang his towel up at night? Does he leave the top off the milk? What's he like? What's Mrs. Swan saying about him?
No, well, we've got him. We've got two, actually. We've got Cam and Toby Woollett. So they're both good boys, actually. They make their bed and they do their own washing and things. Leonie cooks up a treat. It's going to be hard to move them out, I think, if they're spoiled. But they're good fellas. They're adjusting to life as professional footballers because, you know, you're doing a lot of training and it's pretty hard work. They sleep a lot and they eat a lot. That's pretty much sum them up.
Good work. Look, just what you said about we've spoken about the young players, but some of the experienced players there. I reckon, Greg, if I was one of those young blokes, I'd think to myself, yeah, I probably miss home and miss my family, but from a footballing perspective, here's a side that's obviously on the up with some really good talent, but I want to take this opportunity, and it doesn't come along very often, to just play with a bloke like Luke Hodge and just learn everything I can in the short time I'm going to be able to be with him.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. He's... Yeah, because of his standing in the game, all the young blokes are just, you know, they're in awe of him. Anything he says during meetings, you know, he's been great for the older blokes in the, you know, with the leadership group. He's sort of mentoring them, and but the young fellas, they just live off every word he says. I mean, even with the two boys at home, they talk about it all the time. You know, Hodgie said this, Hodgie said that, and anything he says, you know, they take on board and try and implement. And what he's trying to do is just bring the standards up to, you know, what he's used to at Hawthorn, you know, four-time premiership player, and you know all the accolades that Hodgie's got. His main asset, if you like, is just his leadership. He's a great fella. He's a terrific communicator, and you know, as I said, his standing in the game makes everything he says really pertinent for the young fellas.
When he talks to them, what does he generally talk about? Are there any particular areas he focuses on?
Yeah, look, he's been fairly strong in the training standards in that, you know, you do train as you play. And I know it's easy to say, but he's really pushed that the intensity of training has to be almost as well, you know, the same as it is at in a match. And so that, I think the level of training's gone up a cog because everybody probably assumes they train hard, but, you know, in his view, you need to train like you're playing. So it's full on, it's, you know, mouth guards in, it's all that sort of stuff. And obviously with Fags as the coach, and they've got a fantastic relationship. So between the two of them, that's probably been the thing that, I think, has been the biggest difference in the pre-season.
Yeah. I would find him, and I don't mean this in a negative way, rather an intimidating person to be around, Luke Hodge, for a young bloke, because of the high standards that he obviously sets. And you wouldn't want to sort of make yourself belittled in Hodgie's eyes, you know what I mean? I think you'd be trying to impress him at every stage. He wouldn't want to be the young new recruit that Hodgie has to pull aside and say, listen, mate, you've got to do this. So I think it's an intimidation, but in a good sort of a way.
Yeah, look, it's a fair point. I mean, he's such a good fella. I mean, I think he conveys his messages primarily in a positive way. I don't think he's given too many blokes a bollocking, but, you know, he's just, you know, it's just different for us because we are so young. But, yeah, as I said, Dane Beams, Dane Zorko, Daniel Rich, all the guys who have been there for a while, they've really appreciated having him around as well, just picking his brain about whatever. So, you know, it's been good. And, you know, I just heard you had the Adelaide guy on before. Charlie Cameron's actually been fantastic as well, coming into the group. So
yes,
from Adelaide. And so they're our two sort of experienced recruits. And then we've got, obviously, the four or five young fellas. And so the mix coming into the team has been terrific, and they've both fitted in extremely well.
Greg, with yourself, and we've mentioned Chris Fagan and your football manager, David Noble, who's doing a marvellous job there. You've obviously taken what you guys are saying is a holistic approach to player retention. You've got two young lads living in your house, which is a big thing for a CEO to take on board. But obviously, it's something that's being done across the whole group. And I know Chris Fagan and David will travel interstate as soon as a young lad's drafted to meet mum and dad, go and see their home, and then, I suppose, give assurances that when your son leaves, whether it be Victoria or Adelaide or wherever, you're coming to Brisbane, they're going to be looked after.
Yeah, look, and that's right, and that's sort of what we did. I mean, Andrew Crowell took over our welfare department, and he's doing a fantastic job. As you said, we've got, I think the thing that's probably important for us is we've got experienced people in those positions now. You know, Fags and Nobes have been around a long time, as I have. So, we looked at the reasons why people may have been leaving, and so, you know, yeah, it's about how we house them, what we do with their families. We think that, as I said, the holistic approach. So we spend a lot of time with the families. We keep them up to date. We've even got a Facebook page where they can actually watch training live and see how the young fellas are going. And so, we've looked at all those things and just making sure that, the environment here is good. As you said at the outset, one thing that you do know in any code of sport is if you're winning, it makes it easier to keep your team together. So we want to do that as well. And the young fellas they have fitted in well. And I think with all those re-signings and, just the spirit within the group, I think it's working. And, it's a long-term thing, but we just think that it's important that, everybody in the family and just within the groups, where they live, do they live with other players, do they live with the host family? Until everything gets sorted out, we've sort of made a conscious effort to make sure that we get all those things right.
Hey, Greg, we've been talking about the young fellas. We shouldn't overlook the girls, because we're only just over a week away from the start of the AFL women's fixture. Brisbane play the Adelaide Crows away at Norwood Oval in the first round. How are things shaping up?
Yeah, well, look, we had a practice game on the weekend, and we're saying that we experimented and we didn't win, but it is a grand final replay on the 3rd of Feb. So this is the last weekend, really, where you've got no football, and then we're fully into it. But look, we expect, I think, we've got about 13 new girls in the squad. Obviously, all of them, two of them are for Victoria, but the rest are the locals. So I think, the trick will be for Craig Starcevich just to bed those girls in. But, he's really confident that we'll have a better team than last year. And, there's no better gauge than playing the Premiers in the first game away. We beat them over there last year, but it'll be a great test for us Saturday week. So, that's exciting as well. So there's a lot of stuff happening at the club. And then following that, I think the boys play an AFLX game on February 17, I think it is. So that's sort of a 2020 version of AFL, which will be interesting. None of us have seen it, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Greg, you arrived here in Brisbane in 2014, halfway through the season. You've now re-signed, going through to the end of 2019. Has it been a much harder job than you thought it was going to be, or is it exactly what you thought?
Yeah, look, it's a good question. It is a lot different. I mean, you think you know that it's going to be different, but, you know, especially because I've been in Collingwood and Carlton, so you go from this sort of massive bubble where every waking minute someone's talking to you or ringing you, or there's talk on about you in papers and radios and just in the streets almost. And so you come to Brisbane where, obviously, you know, the Broncos are a big club and, you know, it's a non-football or traditional football state. But so that took a little bit of getting used to. But, look, the people we've got here are all fantastic at the club. We've got a great group of people, and that's probably just a bit, it's taken a little bit of time, you know. We've sort of got a mantra within the club, you know, you get the right people in the right slots and then let them do their job. And, you know, we think we've got that now. And, you know, this was the first year in both the men's and the women's that we didn't have any changes at all. We've got all the same coaching group, the same high performance group. Everybody in the club's the same. And I think that stability, which was great, you know, even from a personal point of view for me to stay on. But, you know, we've got a really good, stable group, and I think that's going to be the bit that helps us grow and grow quickly. So, yeah, I think that's been important from a club point of view.
Good on you, mate. Thanks for giving us your time. Let you catch that plane. Who are you going to see at the tennis today?
Federer's on tonight.
Tonight, yeah, that's where you're heading?
Yeah.
All right.
I was worried if you had have got there and saw Rafael Nadal, you would have thought it was Eric Hipwood missing training.
Yeah. No, I actually saw a bit of that. I hope none of our blokes pull around like he did. He was in a bit of trouble in the end, wasn't he?
He was.
Good on you. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for having me on, boys.